And loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Open our hearts now through the power of your Holy Spirit that we might hear what you have to say to us today and that we might leave a different people. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18, and then I will be referring to the Matthew passage in my sermon. Please stand in honor of God's word. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abimelech as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In 1835, a man visited a doctor in Florence, Italy. He was filled with anxiety and exhausted from lack of sleep. He couldn't eat, and he avoided his friends. The doctors examined him and found that he was in prime physical condition. Concluding that his patient needed to have a good time, the physician told him about a circus in town and its star performer, a clown named Grimaldi. Night after night, he had the people rolling in the aisles. "You must go and see him," the doctor advised. "Grimaldi is the world's funniest clown. He'll make you laugh and cure your sadness." "No," replied the despairing man. "He can't help me. You see, I am Grimaldi." Have you ever felt so weary, so exhausted, so anxious that you didn't know if you could go on? This is exactly where the great biblical prophet Elijah was in today's passage of Scripture. See, prior to this passage, Elijah was dealing with the wicked King Ahab and his less than charming wife, Jezebel. They were Baal worshipers, and they had led the nation of Israel away from worshiping the Lord God to worshiping Baal. Elijah first confronts the king by walking into his presence and telling him there would be no rain for several years. Well, needless to say, Ahab was shocked. He had built a strong military presence, but they were not strong enough to bring rain. He had worshipped Baal, who they believed was the god who brought the rains and bountiful harvests. But Elijah bravely confronted this evil king with the news that the Lord God was most powerful, far greater than any of his pagan gods, and he was the one who was in control, including the weather. But the Lord God did not forget Elijah at that point in time. He provided care for him by telling him to leave there and hide in the Kerith Ravine east of the Jordan and to stay there. And he would provide ravens to bring him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, and he was able to drink from the brook. Eventually, though, the brook dries up and the Lord provides for Elijah once again. He was told to go to Zarephath, where a widow there would provide him with food. He spots the widow when he enters town. She's gathering sticks, obviously, to make a fire to cook with. And he asks her for bread and for a drink of water. And she tells him all she had was a handful of flour and a little oil in a jug. She was gathering the sticks to make a meal because her and her son needed to eat, and she pretty much presumed that this would be their last meal and they would die. He assures her that the flour and the oil will be in constant supply until the rains come. And he tells her to make a small cake for him and then to prepare for her son and herself, and she does. And the flour and the oil never are depleted until the rains come. However, a short while later, the widow's son becomes very ill and he dies. And Elijah takes the boy up to the upper room where he was staying, and he prays over him, laying over him, and three times lays over him and prays that God will revive the boy, and he does. And the widow definitely realizes that Elijah is a man of God and that the word of the Lord is coming from his mouth, and it is truth. Well, 3 years go by, and the Lord tells Elijah now to prepare himself to speak to Ahab. He meets up with Ahab's servant Obadiah, who tells Ahab that Elijah wants to meet him, and he tells Ahab to summon all the pagan worshipers and to meet with him at Mount Carmel. Elijah addresses them about their wavering between worshiping the god of Baal and worshiping the Lord God Almighty. So Elijah decides to give them a visual aid to prove what he is trying to say to them. He tells the Baal worshippers together, you know, to get two bulls. And then he says, you take whichever one you want, cut it into pieces, put it on the altar, and we will see, and I'll do the same with the other one, and we will see here which one the Lord will ignite on fire. So they do. He lets them go first. And they dance around, and they're praying, and they're yelling, and they're screaming to Baal. And it was quite a scene that Elijah even taunts them and tells them, shout a little louder. And you could just imagine this scene, this ruckus that's occurring, and nothing happens, no fire. And then Elijah goes over to his altar, and he not only puts the bull cut up onto the altar, but he decides to douse the altar with water. To even prove his point even more, that fire is not going to ignite there with soggy wood. And he even forms a trench around his altar. And he pours water. And he tells them three times they pour water over it. Elijah made his altar out of the 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Another visual reminder for the people who have gone astray and who have left worshiping the Lord God. And then Elijah prays. And when he prays, the fire is ignited on that altar. And it sops up all of the water. It is just on fire. And the people fell prostrate and cried out, "The Lord, He is God." They seize the prophets of Baal and take care of them. The sky grows black with clouds. The wind begins to stir up and the heavy rains come. And Ahab has already rode into Jezreel, but Elijah is given this incredible power. And he runs and he gets to Jezreel before Ahab does. And Ahab tells everything to that charming wife, Jezebel. And Jezebel, as charming as she is, she devises this plan and she sends a messenger to Elijah that she will have him killed like those prophets of Baal. And that's where we pick up the story today. We have Elijah going into the desert. He sits down under this broom tree and he prays that he might die. He cries out to the Lord that he's had enough. He wants to die. He falls asleep under that broom tree. And then he is awakened by the Lord who provides him food. Once again, he falls asleep. And an angel of the Lord comes to him and tells him to eat once again. And then he is strengthened with incredible strength that he travels then to Mount Horeb. The Lord asks him what he is doing there, and Elijah tells the Lord, "I was so zealous for you. Israel's rejected your covenant, broken down altars, and put out your prophets, and I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too." The Lord had Elijah then go stand on the mountain, and the Lord speaks to him after the wind, after the earthquake, and after the fire, in a still, small voice, in a gentle whisper. And the Lord asks him once again, "What are you doing here?" And Elijah responds with the same response. And the Lord assures Elijah he has work still to do. And he's not the only one left. There are 7,000 in Israel who have not worshipped Baal. And the Lord would provide also an attendant named Elisha to help him out in the next phase of his journey. I love the story of Elijah because there are times when we can all feel so discouraged and just so downhearted, can't we? I know I've been there, and I'm sure some of you have been there, and if you haven't, there will probably come a time in your life when you will feel that way. Elijah was being faithful to the Lord, yet he was just plain worn out. And in those times of weariness and discouragement, you know what happens? Everything gets really distorted in life. You know, you think everybody's out to get you. You're the only one that's faithful. And that's where Elijah was. You know, he felt like, I'm the only faithful one left. Look, I've you know, served you, Lord. And he goes on and on. Everything gets out of perspective for Elijah. It's like the man who awoke one morning to find a puddle of water in the middle of his king-size waterbed. In order to fix the puncture, he rolled the heavy mattress outdoors and filled it with more water so he could locate the leak more easily. The enormous bag of water was impossible to control, and it began rolling. And it began rolling on a hilly terrain. And he tried to hold it back, and it headed downhill and landed in a clump of bushes, which poked it full of holes. Disgusted, he threw out the waterbed frame and moved a standard bed into his room. The next morning, he awoke to find a puddle of water in the middle of his new bed. The upstairs bathroom had a leaky drain. You know, sometimes it's a kind of a humorous illustration, but you know, sometimes we can get so out of perspective when we're worn out and when we're dead tired. Things just get amplified 10 times bigger than they really are. Jill Briscoe, who's an author and her husband is a very well-known pastor, she shared about how she was running on empty. She said, my inner life had atrophied. The joy had fled. The shadows wouldn't go away. All that was left was an unhappy, unthankful young woman whose heart was cold and was running so hard, working her heart out for God, that she was out of energy, ideas, compassion for kids, and sleep. And she has this conversation with the Lord. And she says, I was reading this about this missionary in this newsletter, Lord, as if I had to tell him, she said. He gets all the missionary newsletters in the world and reads them all in an instant. You know, the one with a picture of a camel after a long drive across a desert. It looked really funny, and I couldn't figure out why. Then I realized it was running out of food. It had a flat hump, he asked with a twinkle in his eye. Yes, it reminded me of me. I feel as if I've been running across a desert, carrying this heavy load of work, and now I've used up my store of food, and I feel like a flat camel. Then we both laughed. And then she went on to say, before I left, we read the Golden Book, which she refers to as the Bible, together, and I began to replenish that hump. Soon I wouldn't be running on empty anymore, just like Elijah was replenished under his broom tree. I went 40 days and nights on the food he fed from the Golden Book. And I didn't even realize I was running. And so when we are weary and things get out of perspective, what the Lord does for Elijah, the Lord can do for you and me as well. Just look at what he did. He nourished him with food. You know, there is something about a good, balanced diet. You know, oftentimes when people are running on empty, they're also running from fast food to fast food to fast food to hurry up and eat and running out once again. And we are living in a society where so many young people live that life. They live that life of running from here to there and grabbing whatever you can. And there is something about sitting down and eating a well-balanced meal that strengthens our body. Oftentimes, food can have a big impact upon us mentally. Secondly, he restores Elijah with sleep. There is nothing like a good night's sleep. Amen? It really isn't. It's amazing how things look so different after you've had some sleep. A godly Bible teacher was asked to share the key ingredient in his own life for walking in the Spirit. He studied the Bible and prayed regularly, but his surprising reply was this: get 8 hours of sleep each night. Fitzhugh, a poet, says, when life is so busy and hectic and humming, you're uptight and frazzled and stressed. Slow down for a while and spend time with the Savior, and be sure to get adequate rest. You know what? I need to hear that. And I don't know, I'm suspecting there's some people out there that need to hear that as well. Thirdly, as Elijah cries out to the Lord listens to him. He hears us too when we cry out to him in prayer. You know, you come to the Lord and you lay it all down. He knows how we're feeling and what we're thinking, and we might as well just be really honest and lay it all down there before his throne of grace. The Lord corrects Elijah's error, thinking he's the only faithful one. He reassures Elijah as he speaks in a still, small voice, and he provides some help for Elijah. And the Lord continues to speak to us as well, especially when we look to his word and when we quiet our hearts and we listen to the still small voice. And he can help us regain perspective. And finally, the Lord tells Elijah that he has work for him to do. You know, Elijah's ready to give it all up. Just take me away. Let me die. And God says, no, I still have work for you to do, Elijah. And often our own pain can be a great help to someone else who is experiencing a similar pain. God has work for all of us to do. He's not finished with any of us. As long as you're breathing here this morning, he's not finished with us. He has work for us to do. An Italian prisoner of war being held on a military base in the United States during World War II had become so despondent after learning that his wife had died in Italy. The camp commander, knowing that the man had been a stonemason, asked him if he could design the chapel for the base. The POW accepted the assignment and even supervised construction. Today, a unique chapel stands at the Letterkenny Army Depot in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. The formerly despondent prisoner found renewed hope by using his God-given talents to bless others. The author of the hymn that we sang just a few moments ago, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, was very, very despondent and depressed. And he was able to write many, many hymns, and that's just one of them, in the midst of his depression, to lift up his soul as well as to lift up others. So let me ask you, are you broom tree sitting today? Are you under a broom tree? Are you feeling discouraged and weary and plain just worn out? Pull away, eat well, sleep well, cry out to the Lord. Listen to him. Remember, he's not finished with you either. Lloyd Ogilvy shared a story about picking up a Boy Scout along the road on his way to camp. He was loaded down with a heavily packed knapsack on his back. He got into the car and rode with the pack still on his back. Lloyd said, I thought this was absurd, and said, young man, wouldn't you like to take your pack off while you ride? No, sir, he said. It was so hard to get on, and it would be difficult to take off, so I'll just ride with my load on my back. And Lloyd Ogilvy said, this was like most of us who ride in God's grace with the load still on our backs because we find it difficult to take our troubles off and entrust them to God. Jesus, who died for each one of us, said in those wonderful, wonderful words from Matthew, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, we praise you for the wonderful story of Elijah. We thank you, Lord, that he was so real, and we can relate so well to this story, Lord, of discouragement and weariness and how things get out of perspective when we are so. And we see how you provided for his needs of adequate food and rest and how you listened to him as he cried out. We just thank you, Lord, how you gave him a renewed purpose to live and how you helped him. And Father, you do the same for us. Help us when we get to the point where we're worn out and discouraged, that we pull away and that we rest in you. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires to lift the burdens from us. Help us, Lord, to unload them and to rest and to find strength and hope in God alone. We thank you and we praise you, and we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name.